The game week isn't over, but we're eager to review it. We discuss the impact of managerial changes at Chelsea and Man United, whether it's time to part ways with the City defence, and stay till the end for the reveal of a surprise chip usage. Well, this feels rather strange. It's a Thursday, and it's an actual FPL pod with you in our normal slot. Still not a totally normal podcast, though, because, of course, we're midway through, or we're nearly complete, a midweek of Premier League action. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for being with us. Kelly Summers, Julian Ron, Sam Bonfield back with you. Let's start with, how has the game week gone so far? There is, of course, Liverpool and Arsenal still got a face-off this evening. I'm going to come to Jules first on how the game week's going, because I think Sam's still kind of simmering down.
Yeah, it's probably better to give her a bit of time to digest, you know, what happened last night. It's been good for me so far, 50 points. Even if Pep Roulette did me a little bit because Shirky was on the bench, and I expected maybe O'Reilly to be on the bench, to be fair, and have some sort of rotation. When you saw that they called back Max Allen, who was on loan at Watford, Kels,
fuming about that, by the way.
I know, he's very good for you, wasn't he?
He's been brilliant. I don't know if he probably won't play, will he? He's just gone back to be on the bench. He could have been part of a promotion push. Anyway, that's another podcast.
I know. But he started yesterday and I thought he did well. So there might be more for him. But I was a bit disappointed from a Shirky owner's point of view, because I thought between him and Foden, I would have benched Foden every day, considering the poor form that he's been in really recently compared to Shirky. And I thought Shirky changed the game really when he came on, and City were a bit unlucky not to win and they should have won it. But apart from that, 50, Bruno Guimaraes with another wonderful home 11-pointer with the penalty and the assist. Wilson scored again. Haaland was the captain and had that penalty but should have scored at least two. Calvert-Lewin, goal and assist too, which was great. A few bonus points there and there. And then obviously my usual point on the bench. Update this week for Mark Gehi. Thank you very much, Gehi and Crystal Palace.
Mini rant there at the end from Jules. Sam, go on. Let's get out of the way early. I can't promise that Jules won't taunt you the rest of the podcast, but I'll do my best.
It's a safe space here, Sam. It's a safe space.
Apart from you're here, which makes it very unsafe.
I actually don't really even know what to say about my game week. It was one of those where I didn't feel that great going into it, and it just went progressively worse and worse and worse. And I've got Mark Gahey, like Jules, on my bench. He's my first sub. So when O'Reilly was benched, I was thinking, right, well, just stay there. Don't get off the bench. Stay put. But you know what it's like. Pep's inevitably going to bring him on for a one-point cameo. And of course, that happened. I think the best way of describing my game week is to say that the shining light of it so far is Dorgu getting an assist, despite the fact that he conceded twice in a game against Burnley. He did get an assist and that was lovely. So I'll take that. Thank you, Dorgu. I did have Haaland with the captaincy like everybody else, so that was positive. But yeah, 27 so far is at actual shambles.
2-7.
Yes, Jules. Okay. The only other positive, and we'll cling to it, is that I still have four players to go. So we've got four players tonight. The sad thing about this is that they can't all do well because, of course, they're playing each other. So that's wonderful. I don't really even know what I want to happen.
Apart from Raya.
Raya scores, that'll be the best thing that's ever happened. you'll be hearing about that for a long time if Raya scores. But I think Wirtz is the lowest owned of all of these players. So actually, I would really like it if Wirtz did lock out the clean sheet because that would help. But I need a miracle to save me this week. It's been horrendous. And then make it worse, and Spurs lost as well. So, you know, it was a fabulous evening last night. I was in a great mood.
Okay, some good news for you. After the game tonight, Sam, there's no FPL this weekend, but Spurs do play Villa in the FA Cup on Saturday night. No FPL points at stake, but of course, could get better, could get worse. But yeah, we are, of course, all going to have a little bit of an FPL breather this weekend because of the third round of the FA Cup. So just some advance notice. Your next deadline is on the Saturday, the 17th of January at 11 a.m. That's 90 minutes ahead of the Manchester Derby. So the Premier League will be back with a bang. Okay, then let's check in on the FPL Pod Mini League. By the way, in our Mini League, Timber to Gabrielle was the move to be doing because we all did it in the end. So great minds think alike and all that. For me, I'll tell you about my team because people always say I never do it. But I mean, it was going swimmingly when Michael Keane scored early on. I thought at last, after his absence due to injury and then last week not getting the clean sheet, conceding loads of goals to Brentford, I thought this is going brilliantly. And it could have been really, really brilliant. But of course, he did eventually get sent off and is now banned for three games. So one of those is in the cup. 5 points for him in the end, though. I'll take it. I must learn not to bench Dominic Calvert-Lewin because that was just silly. I still got Gabriel and Saka to play. So an okay, mid-40s, okay game week. Could have been better, could have been worse. I need Gabriel and Saka to do something, but doesn't everyone, so it's not going to make too much of a difference for my rank. Okay, then, the FPL Pod Mini League then. No change in the top three. Henry Heine holds his top at the spot. Henry's got 51 points, got Rea and Ekitike left to play. If Ekitike doesn't play, he's going to have Virgil van Dijk off the bench. Oluwatabi is in second. He's on 47 points for the game week. Two players still to play. Gösta Gustafsson is third. He's got 62 points so far. Plus, he has Gabriel and Saka to play. And he was actually the only one of the top three to make a transfer this week. And he did what we all did. He went from Timber to Gabriel. Kim Lamberts climbs into fourth, 54 points for the week. Still have Gabriel, Saka and Rice to play. A reminder, the code is XY6XPL. And before we do our off the bench style review, we do need to talk new managers for a moment, because it's been a lot of movement in some of the big teams in England this week. We said the other day that we didn't quite know what was going to happen with Chelsea, but of course they've now appointed Liam Rossini as head coach. Callum McFarlane led the game on Wednesday evening, so Liam Rossini's first game in charge, our first opportunity to see his Chelsea will be against Charlton, which I suppose, Sam, is quite useful because we can get a sense of what potentially there might be changes given is against lower league team. We get an idea of the kind of football we can see in his style and what he's going to bring to Chelsea.
Yeah, I think so. I think it will give us a nice insight into where his head is, because, you know, normally we would see a lot of rotation, and I still expect that we might see some across the FA Cup weekend, but maybe this time around we actually do see him just try out what his style of play might look like, especially in terms of the formation that he might play, where he might play certain players. You know, we know that he has managed Liam Delap before, but often played him out on the wing. So we'll see if that is something that looks like it might be happening again at Chelsea. So I'll be watching this one with keen interest at the weekend, because Chelsea's fixtures on the horizon are really nice as well. So if you look into the future, they do have a really great run of fixtures coming up, Chelsea. So getting on the right Chelsea asset early definitely feels like something we'll be wanting to do. So trying to work out what the new manager who is going to be important in the new manager system is probably the way to go.
Jules, I'm sure you've watched a lot of Strasbourg and know a lot about Rossini. What are you expecting him to bring to Chelsea?
Yeah, you know, I know he was only on the stands for the Fulham game on Wednesday night, but I think this was very much his team. And I think you see Andre Santos starting. He was his best player at Strasbourg. They worked so well together. I really wouldn't be surprised if Santos gets a proper run in the team now with Caicedo. I'm not sure how much we will see Reece James in midfield, for example, or even Gusto in midfield. We might see Cole Palmer on the right-hand side, though, like we did last night with Enzo. If Enzo can't play deeper with Caicedo, the only position he can play is as a number 10, so where Palmer is, unless you bench him. And I think Delap would be preferred to draw Pedro for most of it too, because I think this is, again, what we saw yesterday, and this is very much, I think, what Liam Rossini is going to do going forward. So it'd be very interesting. I'd be at that Charlton game. I cover it for ESPN, so I'd be freezing, and it's a late kickoff, but I will see it closely too.
Yeah, you can let us know how that goes on the next podcast. Then a word on Manchester United, because literally just after we recorded Monday's podcast, we had the announcement that Manchester United had parted company with Ruben Amorim. So if you listen to this on Monday afternoon and were wondering why we hadn't mentioned it despite recording on Monday morning, we just literally, within the hour, missed the appointment. So couldn't talk about it. We had Darren Fletcher in charge against Burnley, and the club are currently looking for a caretaker manager or an interim manager till the end of the season, as well. That's what reports are suggesting anyway. So I guess, Jules, where does this leave us? Because we've had an opportunity to see them against Burnley since this has happened. There was a few changes to the squad, but I mean, still a pretty disappointing outcome if you're a United fan.
Yeah, the draw was disappointing, although the performance wasn't, because really they should have won this game. They had so many chances, so many off on the line clearance by Burnley and all of that, so many chances. The expected goals is super high, but yet, it's still only 1 point. I get that. We saw a back four from Darren Fletcher, who, again, it's only for this game. He's going to be in charge of the FA Cup game against Brighton at the weekend too. And probably that will be it for him. After that, it could be Carrick, it could be Solskjaer. We don't know yet, but we see when that happens. But maybe the back four is the way forward. We saw Bruno Fernandes coming back into the team, which is great news. If you still owe him, or if you wanted to bring him back into your team and play as a number 9, as a number 10, sorry, he only played an hour, but was the best player on the pitch, as expected, really. So that's probably good news for all of us in the game if Bruno starts playing in his best position. Again, Cesco with two goals. I think that's good for his confidence. We saw Cunha on the right hand side, Dogu on the left, in that kind of front four quattro, if you want, which is maybe not Cunha's best position, but it kind of worked, to be fair, going forward against Burnley. So there's a lot of good things from a Fletcher point of view, even if he won't be on the bench for the next league game, very unlikely. But still, I think the way forward for United would probably be a back four and Bruno back in number 10.
Okay, let's get into the nine matches that we've seen so far, starting with West Ham against Nottingham Forest. A really, really tricky result again for West Ham, having lost to Wolves at the weekend, lost to a fellow relegation contender, Nottingham Forest. Elliot Anderson back amongst the points. Morgan Gibbs-White also scoring the penalty that won it for them. Sam, what did you take away from that, if anything, from an FPL point of view?
I had Jarrod Bowen in this one. And so I was really hoping that we were going to get something out of him. And I kind of thought that, you know, the last 3 weeks were the reasons why I'd bought Jarrod Bowen in, right? So I had him on the basis that I thought, you know, the last three games looked really nice. He's their most attacking asset. It's been a really disappointing couple of weeks. I would have been far better off to just stick with Thiago, who we'll talk about when we get to the Brentford game in a little bit. Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult with West Ham. I just don't think that there's anybody that's really worth investing in right now. Things will get better for them once they get their players back from AFCON. That will help. They'll have a better defensive line. They have signed a couple of players. We saw two debuts from their new signings on Tuesday evening. But I think if you're invested in West Ham, it's time to jump off. From a Nottingham Forest perspective, they're very hit and miss, aren't they? Like we've seen in the last couple of games that they've had some good performances at home, but haven't necessarily led to the result that you were or that they might have hoped for. Elliot Anderson continues to be the one, doesn't he, really, though? Despite the fact that that was his first assist since game week 12, he is constantly getting those defensive contribution points. And that means that every week you feel like you're starting at four rather than starting at two. So in terms of cheaper midfielder options, he remains a really, really nice pick.
Yeah, he does. Are you selling Bowen?
Yeah. I've done it already. Oh. Rage transfer.
Probably needed, wasn't it? Spoiler alert for later in the podcast. We'll find out who you bought in for him. I'm sure you'll reveal it at some point during this. Let's move on from next. I don't think too many people are going to be investing in either of those two teams at the moment. Bournemouth 3, Spurs 2. I mean, Bournemouth 1. Sorry, Sam. A potentially passing gift from Antoine Semenyo to win it, Jules. What else did you take from that?
Yeah, probably the last game for Semenyo at Bournemouth, and what a wonderful goal it is. And I think we don't know yet, you know, where, if he goes to Manchester City or somewhere else, we don't know. We can discuss that once it's official, for example. But wherever he goes, if he does leave Bournemouth, I think we will have to keep an eye on him and him in a better team, in a team that is competing for title, etc. He could be even much better than what we've seen this season or last season with Bournemouth. So that was good to see. We saw another goal from Krupi Jr. And this time, Evan Nilsson and Krupi Jr. playing with each other, alongside each other, not one for the other or one replacing the other or one playing when the other could not play. And I think that could be interesting going forward. Krupi Jr. is only 19, but he's a wonderful talent, isn't he? And that he took his goal really well. It's a tap-in. It's not very difficult, but I thought his all-around game was great. It's another goal for Evan Nilsson. I thought Tavernier were really good going forward for Bournemouth. So it was Bournemouth's first win in 12 games now in the Premier League. And there's probably, which they should play Spurs every week, really, every weekend, ideally, like all of us. But I think it would give them a boost, and maybe it's time to just look at some of their attacking assets.
Yeah, Tavernier is garnering a bit of interest, Sam, at the moment, I think, when people are looking around for kind of another midfielder.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, as a midfield pick, he's a nice option. And if Semenyo does leave during this window, then Bournemouth will need players like him to kind of stand up. And I do think that, you know, him, but also Krupi Jr. will become really interesting picks for FPL managers, especially at Krupi Jr.'s price point. Because if Semenyo is not there, you would expect him to play alongside Evan Nilsson. And we've seen over the last couple of weeks that he has the potential, even off the bench, he's had the potential to get returns. But if he's regularly starting, we should see that more. So I like both of them. I like Evan Nilsson as well, to be fair. I think all of them are decent options. This game was actually, from an FPL perspective, not going too badly for me until that Semenyo goal at the end, because Semenyo is so heavily owned that when he does anything, it has a catastrophic effect on your ranking. So he is a player that I'm like really umming and ahhing about now, because you probably want him, but depending upon where he moves and whether he's going to immediately get into starting 11s or if he stays at Bournemouth. Like, there's so much uncertainty around what happens with Semenyo that I think I'm just watching and waiting over the next couple of weeks with them before the next deadline to see where we land with investment in Bournemouth.
Anything to say on Spurs? I've got West Ham next.
Let's move on.
From an FPL point of view,
yeah, it's very difficult to invest in Spurs. We've seen a lot of rotation across the front nine. Richarlison didn't start in this one. Kudus was obviously missing on the back of his injury at the weekend. Xavi was back from his suspension. He did get an assist, but he's been really inconsistent. I think realistically, the only one that you would go to again remains Mickey van der Ven. And you're not relying on clean sheets if you go there. Like, he's a decent bench option. He's been getting attacking returns. He was quite attacking, to be fair, in this one. And there were moments where from set pieces, he looked really threatening from set pieces. And so against that West Ham defence, there is an opportunity there for sure. But very difficult to invest in Spurs. So I think if you've got Van der Ven, you hold. But outside of that, I'd avoid.
Brentford 3, Sunderland 0. I mean, why did I sell Thiago? I think that's a question that a lot of people are going to be asking.
Same for all of us.
Ridiculous,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It's a lot of people, didn't they, went from Thiago to Ekotike. They sorted the funds out the other week. In fact, I think that was what I did. I know one person who went back from Ekotike to Thiago this week. They realised their wrongs and, well, they reap the rewards. Do we have to have him now, Jules?
I mean, it's quite fascinating, isn't it? We said no goals in six. The last two games before the hat-trick was zero expected goals. He literally had no shots. He could not even have scored. Like, he had as many chances of scoring than me. And yet, 5-2 now, just the form is incredible. The efficiency that he's showing, how clinical it's been in those two games against Everton and then obviously last night against the Sunderland team that really struggled. It's incredible. I think in a form like this, the confidence that he brings you, the form that the whole team is in, because it's not just him scoring and Brentford not getting points. They're fifth in the table. They're right now playing Champions League football next season at the G-Tech, which is just incredible. So, yeah, of course, especially if you've got Haaland and let's say Calvert-Lewin, Haaland is not in form, but you need to have him. Calvert-Lewin is also in form, almost as in form as Thiago Nock and on last two games. But over the period of the last seven games, Calvert-Lewin is actually better than Thiago overall. But if your third forward is somebody who's either doubtful like an Ekitike or maybe not scoring like you would want, like a Voltomado, let's say, or somebody like that, then for sure, Thiago is the man. And even if you've got a third forward, he's in decent form, probably not. He won't be as much in form as Thiago. So probably go for Thiago again.
Yeah, there's so many options now at Brentford, isn't there really, Sam? In terms of Kelleher as well, clean sheet and a third penalty save of the season for him. Where does he rank in terms of goalkeepers in the game at the moment and desirability?
Right up there with the best of the, you know, I actually don't think that, I think the best thing I can say about Kelleher is that I would rather have him than any of the top goalkeepers. Like, I'd rather have him than Raya, than Donnarumma, than Alisson. Like, the price point is lovely. He has the upside. So whenever the clean sheet doesn't stick, all right, he's not going to save a penalty every week, but that's three already, as you've said. He regularly gets save points. He gets bonus points. So Kelleher is just looking like a really fantastic option to have. And I think at a time where, with the exception, and apologies to Nathan Collins for what I'm about to say, because actually he's been phenomenal the last couple of weeks, but the Brentford defence hasn't exactly been a defence that you could go, oh, it's definitely that one. Like, it's been quite hit and miss in terms of whether they score points or not, but it hasn't with Kelleher. He's been consistent over the course of the season. So I think for me, he's the easiest route into that Brentford defence, and saves you a substantial amount of money on your goalkeepers. So I've probably jinxed him there, because you know what I'm like with goalkeepers, Kels, but I do think he is probably my preferred goalkeeper option right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned there Collins, another attack and return assist as well as clean sheet and two bonus points. So potentially another good option as well. A disappointing night for Sunderland, and particularly those of us that started Mukiele, but I'm not going to be annoyed with him because he's had a brilliant season and bought me plenty of points at his price points so far. Crystal Palace 0, Aston Villa 0. I guess the big winners in this one, Jules, are people that actually played their Palace defenders.
Yeah, and especially Margehi, who was the most bench player this week. I think over a million managers benched him, like me, like you, Kels, or you, Sam. I don't know which one of you two has it.
No Palace defender for me.
Yeah, Sam, sorry. In a game where I don't know, I thought it was a bit underwhelming considering the form that Villa, you know, were on. The fact that Palace probably had the strongest moments in this game and probably should have at least scored one and were maybe a little bit unlucky. And I really, I didn't call this one as a nil-nil draw, I won't lie. So I thought Gueye on the bench because they will concede and it'd be quite an open game. It was not that at all. So it's more points left on our benches.
Anything else to add other than disappointment for Morgan Rodgers, Ollie Watkins owners? I mean, if you own a Villa defender, Sam, you spoke the other week about Cash being a good option. He got a bonus point. Dinho was the one that got the clean sheet and three bonus points, though.
Yeah, and Martinez subbed at half time. So if you've got Martinez, cause I very nearly did that, Kels. Like in my struggles, in my struggles this week, that can you imagine the increased disappointment for my goakeepers if I'd have done that?
You wouldn't be here, would you? I don't think.
I might have been sick this morning because it also would have been from -4. I think I'd have taken the day off and got someone to sub in. Thankfully, I didn't do it because I was genuinely looking at it, thinking, well, I need to free up an Arsenal spot. I need a new goalkeeper. Aston Villa are looking really good. Martinez, like Kelleher, gets those additional points. The save points quite regularly come from him. So you'll be disappointed if you had him. But you know, we said last week that the Aston Villa defence is quite difficult to invest in because they do have the habit of just conceding your goal here or there. This week, obviously, no goal conceded. I think Crystal Palace will see this as a really, really good result, keeping a clean sheet, getting the draw out of Aston Villa side, who have been fantastic. So, yeah. Aston Villa continues to be on my watch list despite this result. And defensively, they are a team that I'm still looking at. We'll have to wait and see what the word is on Martinez, because if he's out, they do have a nice cheaper option that you could go to instead now.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else to add? No, I think we've covered that. Everton 1, Wolves 1. I mean, this is the game that I chose to watch last night, and particularly in that second half, it came alive. As I said, Michael Keane, owner, very happy with the goal, not so happy with the red card. In reminder, he will now miss game week 22 and 23. The only saving grace is that one of his suspended games comes in the FA Cup this weekend. We also had Grealish with a red card for a second yellow. He'll miss just one game, so that will come in the FA Cup if you own him. And Mane followed up his haul in game week 20 with another goal in 21. It's interesting, actually, because Wolves appear to have found a tiny bit of form, Jules, 5 points in the past week. And Mane is a really nice option at that low price point if, say, you wanted to invest heavier elsewhere in your team.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was my differential for this midweek as well. So I think he's an outstanding talent. And I know he's only 18 and he might not be ready yet to play, for example, every 3 days and consistently and be that good all the time. But I think there's a huge, huge talent there. I thought it was a decent performance, even at 11 against 11 from Wolves, away from home against Everton. I thought that Mane took his goal really well. Trent Larsen, whose future is, let's say, uncertain, maybe, with a great assist too. And it's another disappointing result, like the Brentford one for Everton at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. I brought Tarkowski, and I know he got 2 DEFCON points, so he's 4 in the end, which is not too bad. But you didn't bring him for just DEFCONs either. You know, you brought him because you thought there was a clean sheet against Brentford. There was one against Wolves. And in the end, there wasn't. So I thought it was very difficult for Everton again. The Grealish red card is not good. The Keane one looks so bad too. And he will obviously miss game week 22 and 23, as we said. So I think it's a night to forget for Everton, and for Wolves, it's a little bit more quality to build on for Edwards and the players.
Yeah, I'm wondering if now maybe we should stop talking up this Everton defence and saying how desperate we all are for an Everton defender, Sam.
You might be right, Kels, because we have had a couple of disappointing results from them. I mean, Tarkowski, you do know that you've always got the upside of DEFCON, and you know that is a bonus to have. Keane, obviously, if you've got Keane, I think probably you're selling now. I don't think you're going to hold him for 2 weeks. That's just quite a long time to have him sat on your bench. But then you might have somebody on your bench that you can play instead. And so if you do, then maybe you can get away with it.
For example, I've got other fires in my team. Selling him doesn't help me do the other things I need to do in my team. So he's just going to sit there as third sub, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's I think, the important thing here, isn't it? Is that you've got to look at what this means for your team. If you've got a defence that, or if you've got a bench like mine that has, you know, Giyu and Josh King on it, you maybe can't afford to carry King for Keane for a couple of weeks. Sorry, so you just need to consider how that's going to play out for you. But I wouldn't be. I'm not rushing to invest in the Everton defence now. They were a defence that I was really worried about not having for the last couple of weeks, and actually, you know, despite the fact that Tarkowski gets Defcon and Keane gets the goal here, they haven't massively punished me over the last couple of weeks. So I'm probably just going to carry on without. Everton need their players back, don't they? So once they get their players back, maybe there's an improvement there as well. But yeah, Mane was the one again tonight. That's started the last four game weeks now. So definitely on the radar for a cheap option. Certainly better than having Giroud right now.
Yeah, Fulham 2, Chelsea 1. We've already spoken a little bit about Chelsea. A reminder that Kukurea was booked. It means he'll actually miss the FA Cup, so it won't have any impact on FPL. Liam Delap scored Chelsea's goal in that, as Jules mentioned, could be interesting because, of course, he worked with him at Hull previously. Harry Wilson scoring again for Fulham, Jules, and they do just keep kind of pulling out these results, and there's certain FPL players that are ticking over.
Yeah, absolutely. And Raul Jimenez as well, who we mentioned on the last show too. Big goals from both of them. The Wilson goal is a wonderful goal, by the way. The first touch and then the shot on his wrong foot. He also got Cucurella sent off earlier in that game. Wilson in great form. If you don't have him, he's a must. I don't know for how long the streak is going to last because inevitably it will stop at some point. But for now, just have him because also everybody has him. And when he performs like on Wednesday night, then it hurts you. And we said, I think we need to keep an eye on Delap under Rosinha, Andre Santos as well, Enzo's position, Palmer's position, all of that. But it's a big win for Fulham and Marco Silva, really.
Yeah, it did feel that way. Anything to add on Fulham, Sam, as a non-Harry Wilson owner?
He was one of the painful marks last night, along with Semenya and a fair few others. He's just been fantastic, hasn't he? He's surpassed 100 points now for the season. That's the first time he's ever done that in fantasy. It's his 13th attacking return of the season, 7 goals, 6 assists. It's another personal high for him. So yeah, in great form right now, as Jules says. How long will that continue? Well, let's see. But if it is a purple patch, it's been a very, very long purple patch so far. So maybe this is just his season. And at 5.8 million, he looks like a great buy and he's nice and cheap as well. So certainly one to look at investing in if you haven't already.
Man City 1, Brighton 1. A lot of frustration once again for Manchester City. The good news is that Haaland ended, I'm sorry, I'm not calling it a goal drought. We'll call it a very mini goal drought. So it's a goal drought by his standards, but he did score the penalty for City in that one. Foden, though, 5 blanks in a row. I think I'm going to sell him. Jules?
Yeah, I said earlier, I don't know why Pep chose Foden ahead of Cherki and putting Cherki on the bench unless they really needed to rest Ryan Cherki, because otherwise, as we saw when he came on, he's the guy making things happen, even more than Doku, who started for the first time since the injury. We saw him obviously coming on at the weekend. It's 3 draws in a row now for Manchester City. And it's not just the fact that you draw, it's the fact that, yes, they should have scored more goal and in this game against Brighton, but so did Brighton. And Brighton, I thought, were really good going forward. Mitoma, who, by the way, I'm not taking any credit yet, I keep that for next week, but Mitoma was my differential for last week. So sometimes differential can last 2 weeks, you know, so I think I deserve some points there.
No, differential's a 1 week basically.
No, it's, as we said, you know, it's not just for Christmas, the differential. It could be, so anyway, I was glad to see Mitoma doing really well like he did, but so did Brighton. And for City, there's still problems in balance of that team, in being stronger defensively. They've got obviously loads of players missing, and that's the problem. But Haaland should have scored more. He missed some massive chances, and there's clearly something not right there in terms of his own form and in terms of City overall.
Yeah, O'Reilly was very frustrating for his owners too, coming off the bench for a one-pointer. But Jules said he was potentially expecting that, Sam.
I wasn't. Well, maybe I was. Maybe I was, actually, to be fair. It was one of those, wasn't it, where I think if you've got a Man City defender or Man City player generally, you play them, right? So, and you accept that at some stage you might get some rotation. You just hope that when you do get the rotation, it doesn't bite you as it did with O'Reilly. It's like, well, okay, we'll stay there then. Don't come off the bench. Especially when it became quite clear that Gehi was going to keep his clean sheet as well. And I was like, oh, this is really, really annoying. I think we've always known it with Manchester City. There's always potential there. I was a little bit more hopeful that we might see him start after all of the injuries that Man City had had to that defensive back line. Like, I'm denied as to whether to play him anyway, because I wondered whether it might make them a little bit weaker defensively without the likes of Gvardiol and Diaz. But decided to start O'Reilly. That was a mistake. I should have played Gahee instead, but I expected Aston Villa to do better. So just one of those nights. Hopefully O'Reilly's back in the starting 11 when we get through to the next game week after the FA Cup.
He's not a sell though, is he?
Isn't he?
Is he? I don't know. I don't own him, so it's maybe easy for me to say. Is he someone that you would consider selling?
Yeah. Yeah, because Jules? I think that there are other players maybe that you could go to instead.
Yeah, I guess
I agree.
Yeah.
With Agvardiol and Ruben Diaz, this is a shaky, like wobbly defence, really, let's be honest.
Because you're relying on your attacking returns if he doesn't get a clean sheet. And I think there are other players that are more likely to get an attacking return than O'Reilly, as we've seen over, like if you look over the festive period, O'Reilly's not been setting the world on fire with his attacking returns. So if you're going to look at other defences that have got maybe more potential for clean sheets, don't have the amount of injuries defensively that City do and has more potential routes to points outside of their clean sheet, then O'Reilly's probably a sell.
Will you sell Foden, Sam? Or would you if you didn't have other fires?
I mean, I might have already done that as well.
Oh, really? No. Okay.
Yeah.
Have I just had enough. You haven't wildcarded, have you?
I might have.
Yeah. Hold on a sec.
We should have started with
three
this.
Three quarters way through the pod and then tell us you've what? Have you wildcarded?
Yeah.
Oh.
How have you not told us this before
I
now?
Know, this is bad.
Because
what?
Because I honestly lost my mind last night. I was so fuming at everything that happened. I was saying to the guys, the producers, before you two turned up, I was like, at least if the FPL week's gone badly, you need your team to do well. Well, neither of those two things happened last night. So I was in a bad mood. I looked at the price changes that were about to happen and I was thinking, well, Thiago and Rice and these players were going up and players that I owned were dropping in price. And I just thought, I just can't anymore. So I've got to fix the 27 pointer. I mean, tonight I might feel very different if the four players that I have come off, but yeah, Foden felt like a priority sell after five blanks in a row. Now he might end up coming back good again, but I was just at a point where look, there's other midfielders that I much prefer. And it was the same with O'Reilly. So I have hit the button. I haven't fully finalised it. I just wanted to make some changes last night. So rather than taking a minus 12, I was like, I'll just do a few transfers. And then over the next week or so, I'm going to have a lot of fun with my FPL team. We're going to have fun with FPL again. I've decided it's enough of all of this nonsense and bad game weeks. We're going to have some good ones. So yeah, wild card time.
Okay, we'll run through your wild card very shortly, but let's finish off our game week review. Burnley 2, Manchester United 2. I want Bruno Fernandes, and I reckon that might be a large part of the reason as well that Sam's wild carded. She might prove me wrong. Jules, are you going to be clamouring to get him?
You look into it. You have to, especially if he plays in that number 10 position again, where he's at his best. Sesko scoring would help him, because you also need somebody at the end of the chances created by Bruno to score them for Bruno to get his points is very obvious. But to see Sesko in that kind of form, his movement was great. He's an intelligent player in the box. And yeah, I think he still misses chances and he will. Overall, he's still a young player. But there was a lot of, I thought there was a lot of positive in Sesko's performance against Burnley despite the draw. More than Cunha, who, as we said, played on the right-hand side and that's not really his best position. But that's the problem. If you go back to a more traditional 4-2-3-1 formation, for example, at United, that number 10 is where Cunha will be at his best and is where Bruno will be at his best. So somebody will have to give something, really. So let's see that. But I thought from Bruno and Sesko, it was very good.
Yeah, probably a little bit early for us to seriously consider Sesko in FPL, but he'll definitely be a watch, I'm sure. Mason Mount coming back as well, I think. I mean, he only came on 60 minutes, but I think he'll make a difference, that United attack too, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. I think starting to get these players back is important for them. And as they get players back from AFCON as well, that will also help to improve the way that they're looking. They don't have the nicest run of fixtures. That's the only thing that I would say, obviously, as we mentioned at the top of the show. It's the Manchester Derby up first after the FA Cup before they play Arsenal. After that, it does feel like you've got some opportunities as Fulham, Spurs, West Ham, Everton, Palace in there in the weeks that follow after those two. So I think that's why a lot of managers are looking at game week 24 as a potential wildcard slot, because it's a really nice investment point for Manchester United. The question for me will be, do I go early on investment in Manchester United now, or do I have some players that have got nice fixtures for the next couple of weeks and then move them across to the Manchester United assets in game week 24 by leaving some money in the bank or by just changing up the strategy? So for me, very, very much interested in having Bruno Fernandes for sure. It's just how quickly do I go back there? Do I go immediately or do I wait 2 weeks and then do it for the better run of fixtures after City and Arsenal?
Yeah, also a Dorgu assist for those of us that did invest in the Manchester United defence.
Hurrah.
Was quite nice, although I've automatically moved him to my third sub for the next couple of games that Sam just mentioned. Newcastle 4, Leeds 3. Firstly, what a game this was. And obviously, it wasn't great that it ran over so much, but it was quite nice to be able to, all the other games to end and then to turn over and see the late drama in this was absolutely brilliant. And particularly brilliant, Jules, if you own Bruno Guimarães.
Yeah, another amazing 11-pointer at home. Incredible. He took that penalty that they got on the Aronson handball, really to bring back his team into that game. Because at some point, when Leeds were 3-2 up with 10 minutes to go, you thought, okay, it's another bad result from Newcastle. But they turned it around in an incredible way. Harvey Barnes did what he often does, which is scoring against Leeds. He lost scoring against them, so we could have probably predicted that one. And another goal and assist for Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who we talked about purple patch for Harry Wilson. It's one that, again, Calvert-Lewin is on. And I don't know when he will stop. At some point, he will stop because he can't keep going on like this.
I thought it was going to stop this week, which is why he was my second sub.
Yeah, but he didn't. That's why he was in my team.
Honestly, fuming, but also pleased. But he's probably part of an optimum front three at the moment, isn't he, Sam?
Yeah, probably. Which is mad, isn't it, really? Sort of come from a bit from nowhere. And when you look at the fixtures that they have coming up, obviously it's Fulham and Everton next, and Everton will still be without Michael Keane by the time that they play them. There's a game in there against Arsenal, which skews where Leeds sit on the fixture ticker, because after that it's Forest and Chelsea and Villa. So they sit a lot lower down because of the Arsenal game. They would be a lot higher up if they didn't have that one in there in 24. So he is definitely a player that we need to be looking at. He's relatively cheap. He's chipping in with the goals left, right and centre. So for sure, I think depending upon how you're planning to play out the next few weeks, if you're planning to play with a front three though, he has got to be a name that you're considering owning if you don't already.
Yeah, I agree. Anything else to add from that game or Sam? I feel like Sam's sitting there, you know, like when they can't fully say everything they want to say, because every player we've spoken about, we've now realised, Jules, she's got them. She's brought them in on their wild card, but she's not been able to say because she kept that little secret. So Sam, reveal your secret fully now. Talk us through your wild card.
It's not, I wasn't intending to keep it a secret. I just thought that given we were going to have a section on chip strategy and stuff at the end of this, I'd just wait and mention it then, unless you directly asked me at the beginning. And I wondered if you might, because I had said I might do it.
I just thought you would say it if
you write
done
the script
it.
As well. It's not in the script. So.
But also, it says at the bottom, it says at the bottom, if I've played it. Right, the last section, by the way.
If.
We'll let the listeners in on a secret. So Sam writes some notes on these bits. I kind of have my own notes separate, but I go through the notes as they are. So it has each game. Then it says chip strategy at the bottom of the script. And it says wildcard is the chip that managers might think about. If I've played it, we can run through my team at this point. Well, I thought, well, if she'd played it, she would have updated that and told us earlier on. Anyway, we'll let you off if you run us through it now.
So the goalkeepers are, I'm going with Kelleher as my goalkeeper. I just think that he's in good form and he's so cheap at 4.5. It makes such a difference to the rest of your team. Like I'm saving 1.5 million on having David Raya in there. So that frees up an Arsenal slot, gives me a cheaper goalkeeper option, rotates fairly reasonably nicely with Dubravka as well. So if on the weeks where I don't really want to play Kelleher, I can play Dubravka, but we aren't seeing loads of points for goalkeepers anyway this season. So he feels like a decent option. To be fair, I haven't made loads of changes. I just wanted to catch price rises over the next few weeks because that feels quite important. Chelsea are top of the fixture ticker between now or over the next 5 weeks, basically. And it's quite tough to know where you would invest in Chelsea because we've got the new manager coming in. Liam Delap feels like the one that I want to go to. That is a change of strategy, though, for me entirely, because at the minute I'm still on a two big ones and a little one up top in terms of price point. So if I want to go for Liam Delap, that means I need to find another couple of million out of the rest of my team. So right now I've got Chalobah at the back. He's an expensive route into the Chelsea defence. So I am questioning whether I should go for Sanchez in goal and then Collins at the back for Brentford instead, because that will save a little bit of money. Gabriel I brought in last week. He'll obviously stay, but I'm reverting away from the Arsenal double defence and towards the Arsenal double attack instead. Van de Ven stays, Gay he's staying. I just think he looks like a decent option, and who knows where his future leads. If it's at Palace, the fixtures are good. If it's away from Palace, then maybe he's a better option. Who knows? The midfield is where the majority of the changes I've made so far have happened. I've kept Saka, doubled him up with Rice. I'm very worried about Rice tonight. In the game that we haven't had play out this week, he is the player that could hurt me the most in this fixture. At the moment, I've kept Florian Wirtz, and that's because they've got Burnley in game week 20, when we come back after the FA Cup break in game week 22. So for me, it made sense to keep him there with the money in the bank that he can easily become Bruno Fernandes straight afterwards, because I think that makes a lot of sense to have him invested and then use that spot as my route to Bruno later, because I definitely know I want Bruno Fernandes back. It's just maybe I don't want him back for Manchester City and Arsenal. Maybe I'll just hold fire on that one and play with my Liverpool attacker, who has got a much nicer set of fixtures over the next couple. Bruno Guimaraes is in. I can't be dealing with Jules having him alone anymore. It's driving me insane, the amount of points he's getting, despite the fact that it's an away fixture against Wolves in after the FA Cup break. And he's not so great away from home as he is at home. I do think he's a nice option. Harry Wilson is the other one. So at the moment, I've got the midfield that currently stands with Saka, Bruno, Rodgers, Wirtz and Rice. Harry Wilson, I just don't know how I'm going to fit him in. And he's the problem. Like in reality, one of Rodgers or Bruno would have to make way for me to have Harry Wilson. And so I need to decide on those two. And it will be, I'll probably backwards and forwards all week as to which way I'm going to go with that. But I think I have to be a bit more bolshy with my picks. Like I'm having an absolute shocker of a season. So I can't go into this and just pick all of the really popular players and heavily owned ones. I have to pick some differentials out. The front three at the moment is Haaland, Thiago and Kroupi Jr. I like the Kroupi pick, particularly if Semenyo does leave. I think, you know, he'll become increasingly important to that Bournemouth attack. And their fixtures are great. They're third on the fixture ticker between 22 and 27. So a nice set of fixtures, decent opportunity to invest in a cheap option there. It's just if I watch the FA Cup at the weekend and Liam Delap is really good, I know that he feels like the differential pick that I should have. Like Chelsea are top of the ticker. It's a fantastic run of fixtures. It's Brentford, Palace before West Ham, Wolves, Leeds and Burnley. Like that's fantastic for Chelsea. And with the new manager bounce that you inevitably expect, I think I want more than just one Chelsea player in there. I think I want at least a couple. And Liam Delap feels like the one I want. I'm not sure if I want to find the money for Palmer yet. I think I'd rather have the money in Bruno. I guess the other question for me is going to be Saka, isn't it? And do I stick with Saka or do I just have Rice and use that Saka spot to increase the money in Chelsea? But it's going to be a fun week. Like even already I feel better. Like I look at my team and I feel better. Like there's some differentials in there. There's some of the big coverage picks. It gives me an opportunity to know what's happening with Semenyo and whether I want to invest there, because he kills me every single week right now. So we've got to make sure that the next couple of weeks go really well. This wild card feels probably like the most important wild card I've ever played, given my rank right now.
Ever in the history of your game?
Yeah, Jules, I've been doing this for 15, woo! 16 seasons, and I can't remember. I've never been this bad by this stage of the season, like never. And I look at my team and I'm like, what? This wild card has got so much pressure on it because it has to cover out the heavily owned picks and make sure that I don't get hit by them. But it also has to differentiate my team so that the green arrows can be big, because they have to be massive. We've done game week 21 now. We ain't got that many games to go. So I've got to really focus in on making sure that the jumps, I can't afford 100K jumps every week. They have to be like 400-500K jumps for the next few weeks. And that's a lot of pressure. So this wild card is going to take over my life. Don't expect to hear from me for the next
week.
Big
set of chips for you in general, Sam, then your second half of the season chips.
These four chips, the only things that went right in the first half of the season were my chips. The four chips that I played before game week 19, they went really well. I need these ones to go even better. And it's going to start with this wild card. And yes, I could have waited. Like last night, I was like, I could just take a -4, get Rice and Thiago. Actually, would have been a -8 because I'd also had to deal with Raya and be done with it. Just take the -8. But I'm going to wild card in 24 anyway. So let's just do it now and try and ride a couple before we get to that point and hope it gives me a bit of a head start.
Okay. We've run out of time. but we have a week to mull over.
I need to recover from this bombshell as well. You know, I need to go and lay down.
I was going to say, leave it with Jules and I, and we'll be back in our usual slot next Thursday to review it and probably talk about a very different team. And we might even be jealous because potentially there might be loads of injuries and problems that occur off the back of the FA Cup. So it could be a very smart move playing that wild card. Have a great weekend, Jules. Keep us, let us know next week what happens in the Charlton game. Is that the only one you're doing this weekend?
Yes, Saturday night.
Yes. Okay, I'm at Spurs Villa. Sam, you there?
No, I'm not there. It's my son's birthday party and a very, very badly timed birthday party. So
Come on, he's a Spurs fan. There. It should be a party at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Or maybe you're worried it will dampen the
spirit. Ruin his birthday. I can't have that. We're going out for
or
a party.
Or he could make it. You never know. We'll
Fingers
be back
crossed.
Next Thursday in our usual slot to see how Sam's wild card is going, to see what's happened in the FA Cup and, of course, to preview the return of FPL. Have a great week, guys. And we'll be back next Thursday to preview Game Week 22. See ya. We'll